Jailbird in the studio. Greetings to the Bradestonians in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have a jailbird in the studio. Oh, I'm looking in a mirror. That was me. Actually, Joe Scott, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob.
Joe, we wanted to talk about the effort by the Denver Police Department and the courts to keep you away from the abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood, because of all the kids that you save.
Right.
And for one, they say they're pro-choice. They don't like it when women decide to keep their babies.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Plus, they lose money, and a lot of money. And you individually have cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. So they made up a bogus charge that you assaulted some woman walking into the abortion clinic.
Right.
We talked about this briefly, but we got distracted by the pressing events of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've brought into the studio the audio of when a police officer came to tell you about this, supposedly that you assaulted someone.
Right. Well, we have the audio.
We have the audio. So I listened to that to prepare for the show. I'd like us to play it in a moment. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Now, why were you yelling at the cop?
I wasn't yelling at the cop.
You were. No, that's true. At one point, the officer asked you a question. And you wanted to answer the question. You know, you're talking about different things. Like, well, I want to answer the question. He's like, and anyway, you answered the question.
Right. He didn't want the answer when he figured out I had an answer. He was being sarcastic.
He said he was pro-life. He said he's pro-life, and we need as many pro-life police officers as we can get.
Yeah, but not like that. We don't.
We need pro-life police officers who understand that a baby being killed by an abortionist is murder. When they take a little baby and rip the baby's arms off, rip his legs off, they're killing a child. And on Judgment Day, this will all come back to them, to the police officer, to the mother who killed her own child, to the abortionist, it'll all come back.
The office workers, it all has eternal consequences, and they may not believe it, but hey, this is their eternity that they're setting up right now.
Yeah, and so when they're killing children, that helps to understand when Jesus said in the New Testament, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. I mean, he said that in a parable, but the parable's about God.
Mm-hmm.
And God gets angry when you hurt children.
Very angry.
Yeah, when you hurt anybody, including yourself, but especially when you hurt children.
Yes.
So let's listen to the audio, all right? And
okay.
So where'd you get the audio from?
Oh, that was a fiasco. I got it this morning at the court. I had applied for discovery.
Right.
And they made me pay for 157 pages worth of discovery and three CDs.
You pay per page.
Right.
Right. So they said, okay, how much was it for 157 pages?
And the CDs came to $84.95.
$84 for trumped-up charges, which they're using to keep you away from the abortion clinic. They've given you a restraining order.
Right. So but then I got the pages, and Ken, my husband, he just knows what to do. And he said, number the pages in front of this woman right here so they know how many pages we have that we're leaving with. I numbered them. They're 99 pages.
99 pages. Now, she didn't want you to number them in front of her. She wanted to go off and, you know.
She said, no, I'm not a witness. I don't know what's in there. I said, you are a witness to me numbering these.
Right.
That's all. You don't have to know what's in it.
So how many pages short was it? It was supposed to be what?
157.
And it was 99. So there were 58 pages missing.
Missing.
And then you guys had to call down the court clerk or whoever?
Yeah, the person that does the discovery. I called her, and she said, there's no way I'm that short.
Right, I can't have miscounted by 58 pages. So she comes down,
right,
and it turns out there in the courthouse that those pages are missing. But anyway, right, you got a few CDs.
I did.
And one of them has a video of you and on the day in question with supposedly the woman in question.
Right.
So we'll get to that next.
Okay.
But for, in fact, could we put that video online?
Sure.
We could?
Uh-huh.
We have your permission?
Right. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have done nothing.
Right.
And I'd be happy
you've
for anyone
nothing.
To see this.
Wait, you've saved 1,000 children.
Oh.
Well, the Lord blessing your efforts, you guys, you and mm-hmm. the Lord, you've saved 1,000 kids, so you've done something. But you didn't assault this woman.
No.
You didn't kick her? They said you kicked her?
Yep.
You hit her?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Pushed her. I kicked her.
You pushed her?
All kinds of stuff.
Joe, that happened to me in Denver. Denver detective Carolyn Yates said I assaulted an abortionist, and I'm so thankful that we had video from three angles,
mm-hmm.
and we played it all in court because I never assaulted anyone, absolutely no one.
Right.
And I was acquitted. But if we didn't have that video, and we took the video, I would have been convicted of assault on an abortionist.
Right. That would have been worse. That would have been way worse.
Yeah.
Going after an abortionist.
Yeah. So it was a jury trial. And so anyway, this case now, it's a brand new case. It's bogus. We're also going to hear audio from an elderly gentleman who's a pro-life activist, Terry Sullivan.
Yeah. He's on the audio.
We can hear him. And he's upset because he's seen this happen. Now, we have won over 100 cases in the city and county of Denver.
Right.
We being pro-life activists, trumped up cases, many of them disturbing the peace and so on. And there was a stretch there where we won, it seemed like 70 or 80 cases in a row.
Right.
But in about a 10-year period, we won over 100 cases. And so some of the pro-lifers filed a federal lawsuit because
right.
they're using the courts in the police department to harass Christians who are peacefully using our God-given right to free speech to try to save children.
Right.
And they're harassing, and the liberals don't care, right? The media has never come and investigated this.
Never.
They don't care about abuse of police power, the courts and all. And so that lawsuit was filed, and it didn't succeed, even though we had 100 cases as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Terry Sullivan is upset that they're doing it again, yet
right.
again. And he says to the police officer, you know, you'll not be exempt from this lawsuit. If we file this again, you'll be named.
Right, because the police can't exempt themselves from that 1981 civil rights lawsuit. They can be sued individually.
Okay, so now let's listen to the audio you got this morning from Discovery.
Okay. Yeah, the reason you're here...
Yeah, the reason I'm here, Ms. Scott, is about a month ago, I had I got a complaint on you for harassment.
Harassment?
Yeah, harassment of somebody attending or visiting the clinic for personal counseling purposes. And I've been investigating this case for some time now. Do you remember Laura Brown, contacting Laura Brown when you walked with her up to this?
No, I wouldn't know her name.
Oh, okay. Do you remember walking with that young lady from down the street here? We have it on video where you're walking down the street in the middle of the street and then onto the sidewalk with her
no,
to this
no.
corner here.
That was a month ago, you said?
It was actually April 2nd.
Okay.
And I think the police were called at that time. Do you remember the police officers coming out and speaking to you on that day?
No, I don't.
Okay. The officer that came out here is going to be coming over here, so
mm-hmm.
maybe he can refresh your memory. But Officer Scudder and the sergeant came out and spoke to you?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the contact with this woman at all? Or
no.
No?
Okay. Why?
Well, like I say, she filed a harassment complaint against you.
Because I talked to her?
Well, I think it went beyond that. Apparently, her allegation is that you touched her and put your arm,
that's
hand on
lie.
Her.
That's a lie.
Okay.
I never touch anyone unless they want a hug. Like,
I
if
see.
You wanted a hug, I would hug you, but I never
okay.
touch anyone.
Well, just so you know, I'm a pro-lifer, and I'm on your side. I'm with
okay.
you, you know. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the problem is that when somebody makes an allegation, we have to investigate those complaints.
Well, you actually, you know who you're dealing with. People who are murderers and liars. And they're constantly...
Not everybody that comes here is in that category, Jeff, Mrs. Scott. Not everybody that comes here is...
I said
that
you're
is,
dealing with
listen,
people
listen
who are murderers and liars.
Listen to me. Not everybody that comes here is here for that reason.
I realize
you understand?
That.
And this lady here felt like she was physically and verbally attacked, and she made a complaint against you.
I don't physically and verbally
Well, I'm just telling you what the allegation...
What and
the,
never have. What I do is offer help, because I love these women.
Yes, I understand. I realize.
Them.
I realize what
I
you're trying to do.
I want to help them save their babies.
I realize that,
now,
but see, if you don't,
if
you don't know...
If there's an allegation that I hurt someone or touch somebody or attack somebody, I know without a inkling of a doubt, without any doubt whatsoever, that that's a lie, because I wouldn't do it. It's not in my character. It's not what I do here. You don't hurt someone and then say, listen to me. That's not why I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, here's the situation. You know, the allegation, whether it's true or untrue, we still have to look at them and investigate
that.
Them.
You
and
certainly can do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what our job is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you understand what we're trying to do is trying to find out what the truth is in
you
this matter.
You should have talked to me sooner so I would have some kind of recollection of what happened, because I see dozens of girls every day.
Okay.
So I wouldn't know.
And so your general policy is not to
ever
touch them or
unless they want a hug or some unless I know that it's
what is
welcome.
your rule of thumb if somebody tells you please leave me alone or don't talk to
I
me?
Keep talking to them. Because it's still
don't you think
the
that's...
USA. I'm begging them for the life of a child.
Yeah, how do you know that?
How do I know it?
Yeah, how do you
it's
know?
Assumed
what's
when
it?
They walk
yeah.
in there.
How do you know that they're here for that purpose?
If they say, I'm not here for an abortion, I said, then we can get you help someplace else, really good help, where you won't be dealing with people that rip innocent little baby boys and girls.
I think your assumption is far-fetched, at least in this case, from what I understand from her side of her perspective.
Well, she said I attacked her. She's
she
lying.
Says she physically, you physically touched her.
She's lying.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what the truth is.
I don't ever touch anyone unless it's welcomed.
Yeah.
And I never, ever attack the women. I'm trying to help the women.
I realize what you're
okay, so it's not far-fetched.
Okay.
You know, you're assuming it's far-fetched.
I think you're
someone,
assuming things, too.
You just told me someone said I attacked them. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt I didn't attack anyone. Do I beg for the life of a child? Yes. Do I ask people not to come here because they're given oral contraceptives, which are steroids, the same kind of steroids that if men
not
take,
everybody
it's
here
illegal.
Comes for that purpose, though.
But
that's what I'm trying to tell you, Ms. Scott.
My point is,
so you understand
to
that
women and they murder babies.
Who's
so
they?
We,
who's they?
Planned Parenthood. So we can get them safe help someplace else where they won't be lied to.
How do you know what goes on in there?
Okay. We've been out here 20 years.
I've been
Sir,
doing this.
Would you please step over there?
I've been
Thank
doing
you. This is none of your
years.
Business right now, okay? Please step away.
It's going to be business for a Section 1983 lawsuit,
sir,
and you do not have
sir,
immunity.
Sir, please step away from me. I'm trying
you,
to do
it. You're setting yourself up for a 1983 section lawsuit.
Well, let me talk
sir,
to him, because I don't want to be irreasonable,
thank you.
Terry. But
please step back away from me, please.
I'm asking him to
step back.
I'm here.
I've got a recorder going on, sir. Please step away.
So we want ours. What do you want me to do, Joe?
You can step back. I can talk to him. He's got a recorder. But you don't have to go far.
You can step back over there. This is really... You can... Sir, I'm ordering you. I'm giving you a direct order.
Just go back to the end of the car. Run.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to him. Look, I don't want this to turn into a bullying match. That's not what
well,
it is.
Here, here, Miss Joe,
I've been
Joe,
decent.
Listen,
how do
listen,
I know? Can
listen,
I answer?
Miss Scott, listen to me. I'm investigating an allegation that this woman made against you.
Okay.
Okay, simple as that. Now we'll find out what the truth is. She
I
says
no
you physically and verbally attacked her. That's all there is to it. Now whether you did or not is up to other witnesses and whether they saw you touch her or not. So I'm just giving you fair warning. If that is the case, you're probably going to get charged with the crime. you know.
And charge me with a crime. But, you know what, this is ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous.
Let me answer your question.
To come and go as they please.
And you have a right to talk to them.
You have a right to leave them alone, too.
I have a right to talk to them.
Okay. Well, we're not going to try this in the street.
I want to answer your question. You asked me,
no,
how do I know
really
what
matter.
Goes on in there?
It doesn't really matter.
I thought you wanted to investigate.
I'm investigating an assault and harassment complaint.
You asked me a question, now I can't answer.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you, Ms. Scott. You want to argue now.
No, I want to answer the question
I think you want to argue now.
You asked me how I know what goes on in there. I know because I've done this for 30 years.
So have you been in Planned Parenthood?
Yes, I've been in Planned Parenthood. Not this one, but I've been in plenty across the country.
Okay, well, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I'm just going to tell you, you know, from my perspective, what I'm trying to do. And then I'm going to investigate this complaint.
Okay.
Simple as that. This interview's over at 9:54.
It's not over yet.
No.
Hey, Joe, so a few things. He said he's Detective Marcus Chavez.
Yes.
He said that other officers came out to talk to you, that this woman came in, you assaulted her. Now, he didn't describe the assault, but that happened in court. But that you kicked her, you hit her, and then officers came out to talk to you about it. Officers were called to the scene. So did that happen? I don't remember.
No.
I don't remember us discussing that.
No, it didn't happen.
Normally, the whole pro-life movement in Denver would discuss something like police officers coming to a pro-life protest line and saying somebody assaulted somebody. I mean, that would make news in our circles.
Yeah.
We'd talk about it on the radio that day, most likely.
Yeah, it would make news. No officers came to talk to me. What I did after this detective left, there was an officer at Planned Parenthood, and I went up to him, and I said, did you come talk to me about something over a month ago about me assault? And he goes, oh, no, he was mistaken about that.
Oh, so that was an off-duty police officer who works there?
No, this was a regular on-duty police officer. There happened to be seven of them there that day.
Okay.
So
you asked the one. He said, oh, he was mistaken about
that.
In fact, they're mistaken about a lot. Your file says that you're Joseph Scott from Pennsylvania, a male with dark hair, and you've been arrested for drug charges. And so...
They're very efficient at the DA's office.
Yeah, the Denver DA. And Bill Ritter, who's now the governor, he was there for years, and he did everything he could to use the courts against Christians at the abortion clinic, and it's good for their career. It helps them.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad for their eternal soul, but it's good for their career currently.
Right, and it's sad that their soul is hanging in the balance with this, and we don't want them to end up in eternal punishment, but we've got to do what's right.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So he said, this Detective Marcus Chavez, he said that they came out and talked to you that day. That wasn't true. He said you have the right to leave them alone. I'd say that was basically rude.
He was just, I don't know.
He said he's pro-life. I'm on your side. And he said, well, do you assume that they're coming here for an abortion? And you said, if they tell me they're not, we offer to get them help somewhere where they don't kill kids, where they won't be lied to.
Right. And then he said I was saying something frivolous or something. How did he say that?
Yeah. He said you're making an assumption. You don't know that that's true. You explained to him if they say they're not here for an abortion, I offer them help somewhere else.
Right.
So he wanted to know, how do you know what happens inside this abortion clinic? As though the pro-life movement just started yesterday.
We wake up.
50 million surgical abortions. Millions of women who've gone into abortion clinics have told stories that have been, you know, varying degrees of horror or pain or sadness.
Right.
It's not a secret what goes on in an abortion clinic. And we know, for example, Detective Chavez, we know that when a 14-year-old girl goes in there and says that she's impregnated by a 23-year-old boyfriend, we know that you don't get a call because Planned Parenthood doesn't report suspected child sexual molestation. They systematically don't report. They break that law in Colorado and all over the nation, and just go online and look at the undercover video, the undercover audio, and the examples in the lawsuits in the Tennessee legislature. Just defunded Planned Parenthood in their state $1 million because of their refusal to comply with mandatory reporting of suspected child sexual assault. And so Detective Chavez, with children don't need more pro-lifers like you.
That's right. Children need to be protected and loved, and their mothers need to be protected and loved.
Yeah.
And Planned Parenthood isn't protecting or loving any women. They are hurting them, and they are lying to them, and we can't get the truth out.
So Detective Marcus Chavez, he's basically a pawn, and he's being used by the liberal administration in the city of Denver, and he's being used by the administrators of Planned Parenthood. It turns out the vice president of Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains is a witness.
Right.
Now, that's a crack-up, Joe.
I know.
That's a crack-up that the vice president of the vice president of Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains would be a witness to this.
Yeah.
And just coincidentally was driving by after you going for 30 years, 5 days a week. Now, here in Colorado, it's been how many years in Colorado? Because you did
13.
This in California first.
Yeah, 13.
So 13 years, and here she comes at the exact moment. I mean, what a liar. And so Detective Chavez is a pawn, and he's being used. He's being used to try to protect the child killers, and he says he's pro-life, and don't you know you have the right to leave them alone?
I have the right to talk.
What a mocking statement by someone who claims to believe that the child has a right to life.
Right.
What a liar you are, Detective Marcus. What a liar you are. The child has a right to life, and the one woman in the whole state of Colorado who's there every day, and you tell her, leave him alone, you lying dog.
You know, by keeping me away from Planned Parenthood, there are going to be children that die. And he's responsible. He's part of that. So is the DA's office.
Yeah.
So is the judge. They're all part of that.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have died if someone could be just there talking to him. There are people there, but I'm normally the one that deals with the women.
Right. So Detective Marcus Chavez needs to apologize, first of all, for telling you that you have a right to leave them alone. And he should also state for the record that these officers were not called to the scene. He should state that.
Mm-hmm.
He should also state for the record that his investigation that went on for how long? How long? It was April 2nd. He had an investigation.
42 days before I was even told about it.
Going on for a month. And he should state that the video, which is crystal clear, doesn't show you assaulting anyone.
Right.
He should state all that.
I don't think he's going to, because I talked to him about the video. I guess it wasn't when it was turned on. I think it's when he handed me the actual arrest papers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he saw me on the video.
He said he saw you what? You were on the
you
video.
You could see the woman pulling away from me. You could see me. I don't remember his exact words, but there's nothing like that on that video.
What a liar. What a liar. We're going to post this video. It's what is that woman? She walks across the picket line. Now, first of all, when a woman goes to have her child killed at Planned Parenthood, normally they drive into the parking lot.
Right.
That's normally.
Mm-hmm.
If it's someone who can't afford a car, they walk up either from the minority neighborhood that Planned Parenthood's always. They always position themselves right smack dab in a minority neighborhood.
Right.
Because they kill blacks at an extraordinary rate in Denver and around the country. But they're in a minority neighborhood. If somebody can't afford a car for some unusual reason, they walk up. But people who are middle class people drive into the abortion clinic.
Right. And this woman said that she, in the paperwork, it says that she was going for counsel.
She was counsel. So whatever she was going,
yeah.
That's not relevant. We are there. We warn people going in. They kill children in there. Don't kill your baby. If you're going in there for an abortion, don't do it. And if you're not, go somewhere for help where they can help you, where you're not going to help them with money and government subsidies, because they lie to women and they kill children.
Right. Right. And that's what we tell everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone going in.
So Detective Marcus Chavez actually said that he saw a video of you. What did he say? The woman, what?
He said that you can see her pull away from me. That's the only line that I can remember him saying to me that day. And I couldn't imagine, because if somebody's angry with me, I stay well away from them, but I continue to talk to them.
Right.
And if they're not, and we're having a normal conversation, well, it's a normal conversation.
Right, my goodness. If somebody's walking by to go into the abortion clinic, then you walk along so that you can talk to them.
Right, and I don't know why he would say those kinds of things to me, because when you see the video, there's no way. There is no way.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, they are dreaming.
Yeah, well, lying.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Lying. So, Joe, I'm a bit angry at this, of course. Kids get killed, and you have adults not only making excuses for it, tolerating it,
promoting it,
supporting it, advocating it, but then you have adults like Detective Marcus Chavez who say, oh, I'm pro-life, and don't you know you have a right to get out of here? You have a right to leave these women alone? We want there to be child killing with tranquility. That's Detective Chavez's middle name. Child killing with tranquility.
Right.
He wants, on his beat, he's a Denver detective. He wants kids to be killed, and he doesn't want anybody complaining, and so certainly nobody there at the scene trying to intervene or trying to complain about it.
Right. That's exactly what he's doing. That, you know, my stomach turned when he said he was pro-life, because you knew he wasn't.
Right.
But, people have to understand that there are a lot of forces out there that want to kill children, and our Colorado government is going to help them to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah. Because it's the ultimate rebellion against God. Detective Marcus Chavez would say, I'm going to obey the law. I don't care what God says. I don't care what God says. I'm going to obey the law. And the more people that kill their children at Planned Parenthood, and the more that he defends the killing of children, the stronger his rebellion against God becomes. And in a sick way, that makes people feel more confident as they shake their fist at God and say, I'm going to obey the law. I don't care what you say. That's what the Germans said when they were killing the Jews. That's what the Americans said when they were owning blacks and Christians like Harriet Tubman tried to save them. And they would prosecute her. They'd prosecute Dred Scott instead of doing what was right.
What he doesn't realize, what they all don't realize, is our right to speech doesn't come from the Colorado or the national government. It comes from God.
Our right to free speech.
Right. We have free speech because God gave it to us, and it's our duty to use our mouths to glorify him. And I'm called to save children, and so are the rest of the people out there to save children.
That's exactly right. Our right to free speech is affirmed by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, but it's not a First Amendment right in that you don't get the right from the First Amendment. It comes from God. And Detective Chavez needs to understand that those babies' right to life comes from God. Thank you, Joe Scott.